Welcome to Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop, where you'll find the unique, the bizarre, and sometimes the haunted. Feel free to look around, peruse the items, and never fear, there's nothing here that bites. Hard anyway. Well, hello there. So delighted to see you've returned to Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop. I am your shopkeeper, Chris Baker, and today I thought I would show you around a particular section of the shop. If you'll follow me this way, you'll find this section. We have on display numerous suits of armor. These suits of armor, often used by military troops from time immemorial to a distant future. If you'll take a look over here, the scant armor of a Spartan of ancient Greece, a suit of armor from a medieval knight. Over here, you'll notice armor that is more modern. Helmets and body armor used by our men and women in the armed forces today. While over here, and over here, we have selections more suited for a not too and a very distant future. This one over here in particular is a suit of armor worn by a Spartan of a different kind from the year 2552. Do not ask how we procured this piece. It's a story for a different time. But it is this particular suit of armor from a distant future that is the lifeblood of today's episode of Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop. So let's pull out the mutoscope and take a look at the Paramount Plus series Halo Season 2. So the first season of Halo came out, what was it, 2022? And I have to say, I enjoyed it. It wasn't the best show I'd ever seen, but it was actually pretty good. I enjoyed it. I'd like to see some good sci-fi series on TV or even in the movies. You don't get as much of that. Sci-fi, you get a little more of that than fantasy. I think fantasy is the redheaded stepchild of genre these days, but we do get a little bit more sci-fi than fantasy, but not nearly as much as we get of horror. Horror is the golden boy, the golden child of genre, but I don't think we get enough of fantasy or science fiction. So anytime there's a sci-fi movie or series, I'm always on board to check it out. And I remember watching Halo back in 2022. I'm not what you would call a gamer. Maybe once upon a time, I was more into games than I am now. I've got a job. I just don't have time to play games. I wish I did, but I've never played the Halo game, although I am aware of it. A friend of mine had kids who played the Halo game, so I knew just, well, not even enough to be dangerous. But in preparing for talking about Halo Season 1, I kind of delved into the mythos of Halo and the storylines of some of the games, because I wanted to see, without playing the games, I wanted to see how close the first season was going to be to the gameplay and the games and the storyline that go along with the games. And I have to say, I mean, the first season, if you ask a hardcore gamer, they're going to say, no, it wasn't anything like the game, and I hate it. From my understanding, they hit a lot of benchmarks with the game, and I think that continued through the second season. It's not going to play out exactly like the game. I thought one of the cool things they did some of the fighting scenes from a POV inside the armor helmets, and it almost kind of looked like being a part of a first-person shooter like Halo can be. So I thought that was a neat touch. But I enjoyed the fact that they, as I said, hit a lot of the benchmarks of the game and the story within the game without doing it exactly. Because I think that's one thing that people who create adaptations off of video games have a really tough road ahead of them. Because you have to keep it close enough to the game to really pull in those hardcore gamers, those hardcore lovers of that game, to make them happy. You have to be as faithful to the game as possible, because if you're not, they're going to crucify you. But you also have to make it accessible to the people that have never played the game and just want to watch a good sci-fi series. And sometimes getting too bogged down in the minutia of being totally faithful to the video game means that you're not making something very dramatic or cinematic for the big screen or the small screen. And in that case, if you don't make a good and enjoyable show that anybody can watch, then you're going to be crucified in a different way because you're not going to get any viewership and your show is going to get canceled. And I think both sides need to understand that. The people that don't give a shit, whether it is close to the video games or not, they just want a good show. I get you. I just want a good show as well. But I also understand that there's a fan base that really loves this and is really attached to it. And it's precious to them, if you will. And I understand that. There are a lot of things that I'm very precious about. There's a lot of things that I'm a huge fan of, and I want it to be as accurate as possible. And so you have to be a little bit understanding of the sense that these fans of this game want it to be the game that they know. And I understand that, and I appreciate that. But also on the flip side, if you love this game and you want it to be exactly like the video games, video games are fun and the storylines are interesting for playing a video game, but sometimes that doesn't translate to a TV series and the bigger picture of trying to do multiple seasons of a story. There's a character that dies in season 2 of Halo that dies in the video game, but dies in a completely different way. And if you know the video game and this character and how they die there, it's a horrible death, but it is kind of anticlimactic, where this character gets a righteous death that the character deserves. Not deserves in a, he's a shitbag and he deserved to die, but he deserved to, if he's gonna die, he deserved to die a hero's death, and the character does. And I remember watching it, and we'll get into this once we get into the spoiler section, but just, you know, holding back the tears because it was such a powerful scene. That whole episode was just full of shit that will make you feel the feels. But if you love the video game, you have to understand that things have to be changed. And I think that's kind of how I feel. I know it's not Halo the video games. I know it doesn't go exactly along with the video games, but I also know the video games well enough. I know I haven't played them, but I've read about them enough and talked to people about them enough that I know they're hitting a lot of the same benchmarks. They're just getting there in a different way. And I love the fact that they are faithful to some of those big benchmarks and some of those big scenes and some of those big moments in the Halo series, but I also love the fact that they are telling a different story. They have to tell a different story because, like I said, storylines play out different in a video game than they do a series that has to last who knows how many seasons. Hopefully as many as possible, because I really enjoyed this series. But I enjoyed the series. I've made no bones about that. I love the acting. A lot of the same actors came back for this. We had a couple new characters. Christina Rodlow plays Talia Perez. I thought she did a really good job. I would like to see more with this character and her story. I can't remember how her story ended up, whether we'll get to see more or not, but I think we will. And I really enjoyed her character. I'd like to, like I said, learn more about this character. Joseph Morgan plays Colonel James Ackerson. And he, of course, if you know him, he was in The Vampire Diaries. He played Klaus. He was also, and you play Klaus in the Originals TV series. He's kind of a bad guy in this. We'll get a little more into detail, but I really like his performance. He is a fun actor to watch because he can play the bad guy really well. He can also play a good guy. He also plays maybe not a good guy, but he plays a bad guy that you can empathize with to a degree. He did that a lot in Vampire Diaries and the Originals. So I really enjoyed his addition to the cast, but all the other actors, fantastic. And one of the reasons I liked this show so much is because it is very well acted. The special effects, well, they aren't great all the time. They're not so bad that I'm not enjoying it, that I'm being pulled out of it because I'm like, oh, that's horrible CG. The CG is not the best. I mean, when you see the members of the Covenant, sometimes the CG is better than others, But it's not bad enough that I'm going to make a big fuss about it because I'm enjoying the show so much. So if you haven't watched Halo Season 2, if you haven't watched Halo at all, go check it out on Paramount Plus. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the second season. I thought the second season was better than the first season. The first season was okay, but I spent the second season maybe not worrying so much about what is in the games and what isn't in the games, and just sat back and allowed myself to enjoy watching a good story. And I think that's what you got. I think you got a better story. I think you got to delve into these characters, especially the Spartans, Master Chief and Riz and Vanek and Kai. I thought you got to learn a little more about them as people, which I thought was interesting. You didn't get as much in that first season. You got a little more in this season. So go watch Halo Season 1 and Season 2. But if you haven't seen it, go check it out and then come back and hear my thoughts on Season 2 of Halo. But if you have watched it, you don't care one way or the other, we are going to head into some spoiler territory. So I'm not going to break this down episode by episode. I'm just going to talk about some of the things I really like, some of the elements of the story that I really liked throughout this season. And I mentioned him in that non-spoiler section. I really enjoyed the Ackerson character played by Joseph Morgan, because he's introduced as kind of a replacement to Admiral Perengoski and Halsey, where he's kind of running the show and he kind of takes over the Spartan program, but he wants to do things his way and he kind of butts heads with Master Chief and ends up grounding Master Chief's team, Silver Team, and ultimately taking away their armor and their ability to be Spartans. And I found that interesting on a couple levels, because it really set up Ackerson as a bad guy. And just kind of that smarmy, pompous, arrogant young bureaucrat that's come in and trying to run the show and trying to tell soldiers how to be soldiers. And I thought that was really interesting because he plays that kind of smugness so well. Joseph Morgan does. But as we learn this story going along, he's a lot more complicated than just that. And by the end of it, I really liked the fact that maybe he's not a good guy, but he's not as bad a guy as you thought he was going to be. And then that big reveal that really Admiral Perengoski, played by Shabana Azmi, she's kind of the bad guy. But even there, I mean, you say the terms good guys, bad guys. I don't think any of them are bad guys. I just think they're doing the wrong thing for the right reasons. Admiral Perengoski is trying to save humanity. She's going about it the wrong way. She's going about it coldly and calculatedly because she is willing to sacrifice whoever she has to sacrifice to save humanity. And she's okay with the fact that she's going to have blood on her hands one way or the other. You look at somebody like that as a bad guy, but you know, it's kind of a there, but for the grace of God go I. You put yourself in her shoes, and what would you do in this sort of big intergalactic level event and war? So I kind of like how they turn the tables, and Perengoski kind of seems like she's on Master Chief's side at the beginning, and then she turns heel. I like how she kind of got her comeuppance once they introduced the Flood later in the series, and we'll talk about that coming up a little bit. But on the same token, it was kind of cool that they showed Ackerson wasn't completely the asshole that we thought he was, and Joseph Morgan plays his character really well. I liked the fact that they took the armor away from Silver Team, because then you got to understand these characters a little bit better, or at least Master Chief, because Master Chief, you know, he's a badass with his armor, and we get to see him fight a lot in the beginning of this season, throughout the first season. You get to see how badass he is and why he is the Master Chief of legend in this world. But you take the armor off of him, and then what is he? And then you got to see what he is as a man. And now that he no longer has the whatever it was in him that's kind of subduing his emotions, he's a free man to think and feel what he wants. And we get to see him. We get to see that he's still a badass fighter, even without the Mjolnir armor. We get to see him do a little detective work and find out that he's a smart guy. And I liked that they gave each of Silver Team their own little moment where they got to find out who they were. Of course, Kai, she kind of sticks with the program. She's still being the good soldier, but when it comes down to it and she's to bring Master Chief in, she realizes, you know, that being a good soldier doesn't always mean doing exactly what you're told when your conscience tells you otherwise. And that was interesting. Riz getting injured in the end of season one and those injuries still nagging at her in season two, and her deciding to just hang it up and essentially retire and go live a normal life was interesting. The complexity of emotion that led her to that place. And I enjoyed the fact that Natasha Kalzack, who plays Riz, got to see a little more of her range as an actress and was really enjoyable. The one character that we didn't really get to learn a whole lot from because he didn't make it through the whole season, Vanek, played by Bentley Kalu. I really wished we could have got to know this character better because he really seemed like an interesting character, and I wish we could have learned more about him. But that one episode, The Fall of Reach, was just brutal because you had Vanek being killed by the Covenant, and you had Jacob Keyes killed off in that episode, played by Danny Sapani. And I really enjoy him as an actor, and I really enjoyed him as this character. Now, he's the one where, like, in the Halo video game, I believe it's on one of the Halo ring planets, he gets infected with the Flood, and I think that's kind of where the Flood is introduced, and Master Chief ends up mercy killing him. But he ends up dying that way. And yeah, it just feels a little anticlimactic. He's a soldier, and they gave him a really good and honorable soldier's death in this because all hope is lost. The Covenant have invaded Reach. They have overrun the facility. He's trying to give the ships with the refugees and the civilians time to get away, and he opens up some fuel containers or something and gets the best dying line. I don't know. I haven't heard a good one in a while, but he's got a cigar and says to the Covenant that are surrounding him something to the effect of, "Anyone have a light?" And he lights it up and blows up the Covenant and himself. And it was a hero's death. And it was one of those where you're already reeling because of what happened to Vanek, and now he dies. And it's just like, oh my God. I must say, Jacob Keyes' death, though, really, that got my eyes a little watery, I have to admit. And as much as I hated seeing Vanek and Keyes being killed off like this, he's definitely got a huge TV death. Vanek, he didn't get a big hero's death, but he went out as a soldier, went out with his boots on. And when Riz and Master Chief had that sort of funeral for him, I think that's where that character's death really kicked in for me. And hearing Master Chief talk about Vanek the way he did, that's where I started to get the feels a little bit there. And they dealt with a lot of death in this season. Because not only did you have them die, you had Lara, played by Fiona O'Shaughnessy, Soren's wife. She died in this. You didn't necessarily see her die, much like Perrin Goski. You didn't see her die, but the Flood, everyone infected by the Flood, kind of grabbed a hold of them, and you know they're going to be at least infected. Now, I don't know enough about the Flood in the video game series to whether that is a death sentence or if they can be brought back from that, but for all intents and purposes, these two characters, Perrin Goski and Lara, they were killed, per se. Halsey is infected by the Flood at the end of it as well, and her daughter, Miranda, puts her in this cryo-freeze to keep the Flood from spreading inside of her, and she'll fix it. So maybe we'll see some sort of remedy for the Flood infestation in somebody. Or not. Like I said, I don't know how the games treat that. That's probably something I need to do a little more research on. But I could definitely see them. They're not being overly faithful to the video game, so I could see them doing something where they come up with a way to save Halsey and maybe Lara, maybe Berengoski. But I did like the way Lara went out. She again got kind of a hero's death where she's trying to save Soren and their son as they're trying to escape, and she kind of locks them out as the flood is coming at her. And that was another incident where I kind of got a little bit of the feels and kind of started to well up a little bit. Anyone that sacrifices themselves, that to me is one of the most selfless acts. And it always hits me emotionally whenever I see it played out on TV or film. Another one of the moments that I really loved from this season was when the Covenant find the Halo ring and the UNSC is trying to stop them and trying to get this Spartan unit. They've got the Spartan 3s that they introduced into the storyline, and Kai is leading this group of Spartan 3s to this ship where they're going to stab the control panel with this thing that'll blow up essentially the solar system is what it's going to do and kill everybody, but it's going to keep the Covenant from getting the Halo. I like how Kai and the Spartan 3s get to the ship and they're just getting the bejesus beat out of them and everyone's dying off. And you have that moment where John's flying off to the Halo, Master Chief's flying off to the Halo, and it's, does he go there and stop McKee from getting the Halo, or does he save the people that he cares about, Kai, Perez? And there's that scene where you see Master Chief getting ready to jump out of the back of his ship and get into the battle. And it just, I can't remember if he says something or something is said there, but it was one of those kind of give you chill moments, like, oh, yeah, now shit's going to get real. And that moment where Kai and Perez and I don't know how many of the other Spartan 3s are there and they're kind of pinned down. And then all of a sudden, you kind of see in the smoky darkness beyond this corridor these Covenant warriors with their plasma blades, and they're fighting somebody, and they're getting, you can tell that the Covenant is getting their ass kicked, and somebody says, "It's him." And there again, that was just another one of those chills up the back of your neck moments. And you see Master Chief just kicking ass against these Covenant soldiers. And that was a really cool moment. Another really cool moment with Master Chief is the fight with him and the Arbiter for a mostly CG fight. I mean, they had some moments where Master Chief is CG, some moments where he's practical. Of course, the Arbiter's mostly all CG. It was actually a pretty good fight and one of those kind of Rocky moments where he starts to get his ass kicked, Master Chief does, by the Arbiter, and the Arbiter kind of walks away like he's beaten Master Chief, and Master Chief kind of gets up, and I kept waiting for him to say, "I didn't hear no bell," and Master Chief just goes right at him and beats the shit out of the Arbiter, ended up killing the Arbiter, which I know in the games, the Arbiter and actually Master Chief work together in some stuff and go on some missions together. But yeah, they killed him off in this. Maybe to have the McKee character replace the Arbiter and have Master Chief kind of working with McKee. I think that's probably where they're going with that. I also liked how, well, I liked and I didn't like it. I didn't like that Master Chief had Cortana taken away from him. So Cortana and Master Chief are not like a unit like they usually are in the games. I know there are some later games where they get separated and whatnot, but for the most part, they're not working together. Cortana's not in his head or anything like that. And that reunion of them later on in the series, I really enjoyed that. That was one of those fun moments where, you know, two people that are better together than they are apart finally come together. And that was a fun moment that I really enjoyed. I like how they ended on a note that leads into what's going to happen next in the story that we're going to get as it relates to the video game series, because at the end you have, I mean, that last episode, you caught little bits of it throughout where Master Chief is being questioned by somebody and you're not quite sure who. And at the very end, you have this floating, I know in the credits, or not the credits, but like on Wikipedia, they call it the Forerunner monitor, but it's, I'm guessing it is 343 Guilty Spark from the video game series, which Guilty Spark is an artificial intelligence who works for the Forerunners, which we're going to get into probably a little more in season three. I don't really know as if they've mentioned the Forerunners by name. I think where Halsey and Miranda Keys, where they go into that area, there's this like civilization built that they unlock the key to. It's where they get that test sample that eventually ends up unleashing the flood. I think that was an allusion to the Forerunners. I think we'll delve into that a little more in season three. But I think Guilty Spark, we're going to get a little more of this character. I don't know if it's going to go by that name, but you're going to get a little more of that from Halo 3 in season three of the series, which will be interesting to see how that plays out. And I think you're going to get a lot more of the Flood in season three. Of course, the Flood, they didn't really call it by name, the Flood, but the Flood is like a parasite. Maybe they did reference the Flood towards the end of that last episode, but it is this parasite that infects people. And if you look at some of the imagery from the video game series of those affected by the Flood, you'll see how they did some homages to that with growths coming out, a little bit of a like appendages coming out, extra appendages. I thought it was interesting. They played it like pretty much zombies. So I don't know how much of that is in the video games, how much that ties to the Flood and those infected by the Flood in the video games. But there again, that's something I need to look a little more into before next season. But even though they didn't do the introduction of the Flood the same as in the video games, I'm okay with how they did it here. They found a workaround for it that I think still works from a storytelling standpoint. It gave Halsey and Miranda Keys something to do, which they didn't really have a whole lot to do in this season. But you don't want to sideline these characters. So I'm really excited to see if we get a season three. From what I understand, the show's getting mostly positive reviews, especially the second season, I think. I think second season is better than the first season, and I think the reviews are much better this second season than the first season. So I'm guessing we will get a third season. I'm hoping, and I'm really excited to see where they go with this, because I thought it was really interesting. I think the first season, we're just introduced to these characters and what's going on, but the characters really didn't become characters, at least like Silver Team and Master Chief, until he got rid of that almost inhibitor chip sort of thing that keeps his emotions and his thinking for himself suppressed. I think once you got rid of that and allowed this character to be a character, a thinking, feeling, free character to do what his conscience dictates, I think the character became really interesting, and you got that on full display this season, which I think anytime your main characters can be that and not just feel like robots, I think the story's automatically going to get a little more interesting. I really enjoy this character, Master Chief. I enjoy Pablo Schreiber's portrayal of Master Chief. I think he does a really good job. He does a good job playing that stoicism of a soldier, much like his namesake, the Spartan soldiers from Greek antiquity. He has the stoicism of a soldier, but he has the heart of somebody that is learning to be human again and what it means to be human. And having faith in humanity, putting humanity first on an individual level is just as important as humanity on a macro level. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see in season three where they go with Master Chief and McKee. Like I said, I think McKee is going to take place of the Arbiter in the missions that they go on together that they're tasked with doing. I'm not sure if we're going to see Kai again. Of course, she piloted that Covenant ship into that other bigger Covenant ship, and we never saw her die. We saw her armor. I'm assuming she's in it floating through space, but she didn't look blown up. could see her return. I'll be interested to see where they take that story and if we see her character come back or if that is the end of Kai. I'll be interested to see whether Perez made it, the fate of Soren and his son, and Ackerson. Quan, who I haven't talked much in this episode, seems like she has an interesting fate in all this. And what the hell is going to happen with Halsey now that she's infected with the Flood, and how the Flood storyline is going to play into all this. I'll be interested to see if we get the Gravemind character maybe in season 3, but all of it is really interesting, and like I said, really good season because it opened up so many more doors into more of the Halo mythos that you get in the video game series. And like I said, maybe you don't always get the things that happen in the video game series as they happened, but they hit so many of those benchmarks on the video games, like the Fall of Reach. It maybe didn't play out exactly how it did in the video games, but to watch that, the Fall of Reach episode was just probably like one of the best episodes this season, one of my favorite episodes this season, just because of the tragedy of it, because of the loss of it, because of the overwhelmingness of it all, where humanity feels like it is feels like it's lost, and where do you go from there? And I don't think humanity ever rebounded from that. So to see where humanity is going to go from here is really interesting as a bigger picture for the series, but to see where Master Chief is going to go from here. And I'm really interested to see, because Silver Team is pretty much done. Vanek's dead. Riz has retired. We may see her back in her armor sooner or later. I don't know. Kai is kind of up in the air, but I think season 3, we're really going to see Master Chief on his own, like I said, maybe doing some sort of mission where he's forced to work with McKee, who he kind of feels betrayed by, and she as well feels betrayed by him. So it'll be interesting to see how that storyline works out, how much it mirrors the storyline between Master Chief and the Arbiter in the video game series, where they had to work together. It all really will be interesting. And I, like I said, I don't think a third season has been greenlit, but from all I'm hearing, that the show's doing really well from a critical standpoint, and I'm hoping that translates to viewership, and hopefully we'll get a season 3 in the not too distant future. Took a couple years for season 2 to come out, so I'm expecting we should at least see a third season somewhere in 2026. Hopefully, maybe sooner, but I'm not holding my breath. But there you have it. Those are my thoughts on Halo Season 2. A really good series. If you don't know anything about the game, I think it is a good and fun science fiction series that is really enjoyable. Like I said, the acting is really good. The story gets better from Season 1 to Season 2. The effects aren't bad. I mean, they do have some practical stuff. They do some CG stuff, a lot of CG stuff. And then, you know, CG for television isn't always the greatest. And it's not the best CG I've seen, but it's certainly not horrible CG. And I enjoy it well enough that it doesn't take me out of the series. So the CG is not so bad. The effects are pretty good. And it's just an enjoyable series all around. Like I said, if you love science fiction. Now, if you're a video game fan, I get it. It's not exactly like the video game, but you can't expect it to be. And for those of us who've never played the video games, you got to be a little more patient with the people that do love the video games, because it is something that they know and love. And, you know, don't be so hard on them for not digging it as much as you do. But I would encourage you, if you do love the video games, you know, watch it with a little understanding that they can't do the video games. No video game series is ever exactly like the video games. Even The Last of Us, which right now is the bastion of all video game adaptations, they do a lot of the cutscenes, but the show isn't like the video game. It's, you're not running around killing mushroom zombies all show long, and you can't have it like that. Halo is a first-person shooter. Yeah, it does have storyline. It does have cutscenes that they try to play off to a degree, but you can't pattern a TV series, like I said, that's supposed to last several seasons the way you tell a story in a video game series. And hopefully with that sort of perspective, you can enjoy it still being a video game fan. Hopefully you can enjoy it as much as those of us who never played Halo, as much as we enjoy it, because I think it is a really good series, and I can't wait for another season. So I want to thank everyone for listening to my thoughts on Halo Season 2. You can check it out on Paramount Plus. Check out our social media pages, Instagram, Facebook. We're always posting about horror, fantasy, and science fiction, as well as our latest episodes. Coming up on Thursday, we've got a regular episode. Of course, this being a bonus episode, just a lot of stuff going on over the next couple weeks, but on Thursday's regular episode, we're going to be talking about Late Night with the Devil, one of my favorite horror movies to come out so far this year. So check that out on Thursday's episode. And no matter where you listen to this podcast, like, follow, subscribe to it. Leave those reviews. 5 stars would be awesome. But whatever review you leave, we appreciate that. And as always, share this podcast with anyone that you know that loves horror, fantasy, and science fiction. So until next time. Thank you for visiting Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop. We hope that you found something to your liking and visit the shop again soon. But even though you may come back, you never really get to leave Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop.